for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, May the 27th, 2005. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Clement Humbard of Hot Springs, Arkansas is the minister.
Never get over this life. Clement Humbard is going to come and minister this morning. Hot Springs is the home of the Humbard family. This is where they lived for many years. It's where most of the Humbards were born. And it's where Clement's dad was taken out down the railroad track and horsewhipped. Blood ran down his shoes. They left him there to whatever, but God used it to bring the great outpouring of the gospel to Hot Springs. And come on up here, Clement, and the Lord used Clement's mother, Mother Humbard. The day we bought this piece of property, Mother Humbard showed up where we were making arrangements at Inez Barron's home, and when she was told what we were doing, that we're buying a piece of property to have a campground, she fell prostrate on the floor in front of us and began to speaking in tongues. And then she raised up and interpreted what the Lord was saying, and that the Lord would bless and pour out His Spirit, and many would be moved and touched by the ministry that would come here through the deliverance ministry. And that there had been two great outpourings of the Holy Spirit here in Hot Springs. Marie Woodward Eddard, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit here in the early 1900s when she came here. And then when the Humbards was here, there was another great outpouring. Even the bars and everybody were convicted and brought such conviction that they tried to run Brother Humbard out of town, but didn't work. But the Lord promised Sister Humbard, Clement's mother, that there would be another great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this area. And she said, and you will live to see that day. So it hasn't happened yet, so I'm going to be around for a while.
Amen.
And so we both are, both
Amen.
Of us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And to declare that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
God will visit this world one more time with a great outpouring of His Holy Spirit. That day is nearer and nearer to us. The Bible shows a parallel. Men will wax worse and worse near the end of time. That's not the church. That's not the great multitude of believers. Everything that goes on in the natural world has a counterpart in the spiritual. It either runs parallel with the spiritual. I've watched this for over half a century. Or it directly is opposite what is going on in the natural. Many times they are parallel. You and I'd be amazed that behind the scenes and in the invisible, in the spiritual world, the things that are happening that dominate what happens on this earth. But you and I are not victims of circumstances, situations. We are believers. We are children of God. We are ones who've been born into the family of God. In the book of Psalms, and you know, Psalms is a song. I mentioned once here at the camp, if you'll take a Bible maybe over 100 years old and get a King James Version Bible over 100 years old and you open it to Genesis 1:1, and they put little subtitles through it. And Bernadine, my soul was thrilled many years ago as some of the great saints of God had placed a subtitle, The Creation Hymn. See, God sang the worlds into existence. Job, where were you when the stars sang together? And everybody in this room is singing every word you say. Well, not my wife. We came back from Mexico and God called her to a fast of words and food. So if you call my house, she won't answer. She doesn't answer me. She writes. Still knows how to write. That's a wonderful lesson. Many of us ought to be quiet, be still, and know that I am the Lord thy God. In Isaiah said, in quietness and confidence. Of course, we Americans, we've got to have the drums beating. Nothing wrong with drums. I love them. I used to not like those twangy guitars, you know. You know, it's too much to me like rock and roll. But then you wait on God, and He says, I like it. My dad used to say, and he preached the gospel 50 years before God took him home, he said, most of us lose the blessing of God through this hole right under our nose. Saying something other than God said. Now, I said all of us are singing. We are. Right now, I'm singing. But it's like a monotone. I studied music very seriously when I was young. Composition, music, harmony, rudiments, and all of that. And I can't sight read unless I comprehend the chord structure. I've got to know, oh, that's a minor six. Now, that is a ninth chord. And I have to go over music. And then I can play it. But I have to, not the notes, but I have to know all of the chords. But right now, I can go over it. You could stand up and give a little word of testimony. I'd say, give John 3:16. You can stand and give it. And I can go over there to that piano and play the note that you're on. But it's sort of a Johnny One note. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, Satan robbed his song. Now in that sky dome cathedral, which is Eden, why do you think old Lucifer came down there snooping around? He had been the praise and worship leader. He was created with all of these beautiful sounds in his being. Now something's going on down there in the Garden of Eden. They're praising God. They're walking in the light. They're walking in the glory of God. And the Shekinah glory there, they didn't even have to wear clothes because it is light. And if you just take a quick glance at the sun, you'll know what I'm talking about. Now, when I mention glory in this subject, I'm not talking about giving honor and glory to God. That's wonderful. We believe in that. All glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in that. But when I'm talking about the Shekinah glory, I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about who God is, what God is, and all that God has, and all His attributes. So Satan came down there and he tempted men in the Garden of Eden. He robbed them of their song. And now we're Johnny One Note. Once in a while with the anointing of the Holy Spirit we sing. And we don't have enough singing in the Spirit. Did you hear me? I had a lady traveling with us years ago. She had been a missionary in Alaska. And we'd have these private prayer meetings, just a few of us, 8 or 10 of us, early at morning, then we'd be on radio and television, then in great crusades that night all across America. And little Eula Robinson, God had start blessing her, and she couldn't sing a note. If you stood by her, she's a monotone. She'll get you off. They say a tone deafness. Well, that won't be your problem over in glory.
Oh, that's right.
And I've said before, when you get to glory, do you think you'll recognize Glenn?
I'm going to have a violin, too.
Are you?
Yep.
I thought you were going to have a harp.
Oh, violin.
All right. But someone came to Mordecai Ham that led Billy Graham to Christ, and he was a close friend of mine in his old age, and they said, Dr. Ham, will we know each other over in heaven? He said, good Lord, sister, it's a promotion, not a demotion. You'll know as you're even also known. He said, they won't have to introduce me to who's Elijah, who's Moses. You won't have to. You'll know.
That's right.
But over in heaven, Glenn won't say a word to you. You wait and see. He'll sing to you. You'll sing to him. Right now, the whole universe is singing. Every star, every planet is singing. Mathematically, this is worked out in documents. The tones that are coming right now. And the whole creation sings on this earth, but it's singing a minor song today because of the curse. But someday the curse is going to be lifted. And what shall be, we have foretaste of that even now. In the dispensations, so-called dispensations, all great spiritual people don't don't submit to the idea of the dispensations like they mark out in your Bible or in your reference book or they teach in a seminary or a Bible college. However, there are periods of time when God deals like in innocence and God deals under law, God deals under grace. That's just three of them. There's seven. Okay. But these dispensations overlap a little. How many have ever been healed by the power of God? That's wonderful. You know what that is? God has a little sample case of the hereafter. You find it in Mark, the 16th chapter. These signs shall follow them believe. Notice, the first person, Jesus, is addressing the second people, his disciples, about the third people. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel of every creature. He that believeth that preaching that you disciples are preaching and believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then he said, these signs shall follow the apostles? No. The Lord? No. These shall follow these second people that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues or languages. And they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and maybe they'll get well. If you'd take your Bible and just in private study, not to tell someone else, but to tell yourself, and underline every shall not, every will not, it just about change your whole life. He said, these signs shall follow the believers. When they don't follow, we're not in the full realm of believing like we should believe in living in that realm. Now, what are those? That's a little sample case of the hereafter. See, I mentioned healing. Healing is a foretaste of the resurrected, glorified body that can never get sick, no illness, no death. Our body be changed like unto His glorious body. This mortal will put on immortality. This earthly put on the heavenly. It's a foretaste of the hereafter. So what's going to be overlaps with the present situation and the present time. But God will visit this world one more time with great Holy Ghost revival.
Yes.
I appreciate the dear brother last night in his message speaking of revival. I want to take my text right quickly here. In Psalms 8, chapter verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And one great emphasis, and I hope you get that CD of Brother Glenn about love. Because I never could understand in the great healing meetings why they didn't mention, for example, they'd tell why God will heal you. By stripes are healed. Use your faith. The gifts of the Spirit, a gift of healing. 1 Corinthians 12th chapter that God set in the church. But Glenn, it worried me, and I preached it a little different. I preached those things, but I said, God will heal you because He loves you.
Amen.
God is love. And God will heal us. Now, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man? This is also found in Hebrews 2nd chapter, I believe, about verse 6 and 7 and 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the, here this translation says angels, but the word used is gods, little g. Thou hast made man a little lower than the gods. In Hebrews, it's angels. All right. And hast crowned him with what? Crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. But if we turn to right here Hebrews, let's see something about this. Second chapter, Hebrews. And it says this, middle of verse 6. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man thou visit him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. God didn't place man on this earth to believe all his doubts and doubt all his beliefs. Stumble through life wondering who he is, what he is, and where he's going. God placed man upon this earth and created man in the image of Almighty God. And that restoration of that image is going to be conformed and reformed in this present age of grace and glory. The sons of God, as Romans 8 chapter said, they are going to be manifest. And we're not talking about what they do. We're talking about who they are in God and who we are in God. Now, we don't see all things under his feet right now. All things. Now, Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. And what he has done, then he ascended on high. About 2 dozen times in the Word of God, it speaks where Christ is. For example, in Psalms 110, it said, Yahweh said to my Yahweh. Read it in the original. Jehovah said to my Jehovah. You say, that doesn't make sense. Well, none of it makes sense to the natural mind at all. And what we can't figure out, just go on and believe it. And at due time, if God wants us to know it, He'll reveal it to us. It said, Yahweh said to my Yahweh. My God said to my God. But it's the same. He said, sit here until your enemies become your footstool, and you'll rule in the midst of thy enemies. Now go into Ephesians, the first chapter, and near the end of the chapter, what does it say? That he said that he wants your understanding enlightened. Well, what is he talking about here in Ephesians, the first chapter? Oh, I was preaching in Mexico 2 weeks ago, and my Bible crawled off of the pulpit and hit the floor, and all the pages went every direction. So I just kept preaching. The interpreter, he tried to gather. I said, let it go, brother. But look here. In Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Say that, Father of glory. There are different aspects of the gospel. But one that's been completely almost neglected is the term, the Father of glory. It's there, especially in the original, time and time and time again, the Father of glory. For example, Acts 7:2 said the Father of glory appeared to our father Abraham. Already said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's easy to get set in our ways, and we think we know it all, got it all, we've been there, we've done that, and then we backslide and don't have sense enough to know it. Spirituality is a present hunger and thirst for righteousness. You have him, but you want to know more of him and have more of him. Apostle Paul, after writing most of the New Testament, cried out and said, oh, that I might know him. Well, Paul, aren't you saved? Don't you know the Lord? Don't you confess him as Savior? Oh, do you get sick and tired of babyhood Christianity? Well, brother, pray for me. I'm just a babe in Christ. How long you been a babe? Well, about 20 years. You're some baby, I'll tell you. If you have a baby in your home and it's still sucking the bottle, trying to get its way and turning red in the face and screaming all the time when things go wrong and messing up, brother, something's wrong. And you'd try to find out what's wrong with that child. And I won't make any excuse, and I don't have very much patience with a gang of big babies that should be in the way and know the way. Many of them say, I've been in the way. Yeah, get out of the way and get moving on with the Spirit of God and grow up and become a full, mature believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said here that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance. Don't minimize the Father of glory and the riches of His glory. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? Now notice the glory is mentioned before the power. I'm trying to lay a little foundation here. Toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies. We hear resurrection sermons, and we went through that period of time a month ago or so. Okay, in Romans 6 chapter said God raised Jesus from the dead by the glory. And here it said God raised Him from the dead and set Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world or age, but in the world to come. And He put all things under His feet. Jesus Christ conquered everything. In 1 Corinthians 15:26 said the last enemy that will be destroyed is what? That's the first thing Jesus did in His resurrection life. Through the glory of God, He conquered death. 2 Timothy 1:7 said that not only conquered death, He did away with death. He vanished death. 2 Timothy 1:10. So, He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. Now turn to chapter 2, verse 6. And have raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not in a sweet by and by. Right now the church should take its position of seating in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not of earthly. We're not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are to take our position with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said not only here, but in the book of Acts, and like I said, about 24 times Christ is seated, and time again, that we are seated presently in the spiritual world with Christ. Now back up a verse or two, it said all things are under His feet. Then all things should be under the feet of the church, the body of Christ. Now what things? This is not all-inclusive. But Jesus, one thing the church has got to get under its feet is sin. S-I-N. Don't you get sick and tired of them preaching this compromised gospel on radio and television? I'm sorry to say, although we were pioneers in television, even national television, I hardly ever turn on a gospel program anymore, or any program. I'll turn on news for 5 minutes and then they start trying to brainwash everybody, and you know they're lying and they're biased, and I just turn it off. Walk away. I'm not trying to tell you how to live. Be sure, though, you march by the drumbeat that heaven gives for your life, regardless of others. But they get on TV, national TV, and say, well, and they laugh and joke. Some of these TV programs that come on the air, and for 15 or 20 minutes, you wouldn't even know it was a religious program. My God, we're between heaven and earth. It's life and death, heaven and hell. And then get on and kid each other about the hair and the color of the hair or something else, and talk about little joke and things and silly stuff. Well, they're paying for it. No, they're not. You're paying for it. I hate to see any ministry drain from the local level, where people are getting blessed and fed. If you get blessed and fed at this camp meeting, you have a God-given obligation. You don't go down here in a restaurant and eat and walk out. You don't go into a service station and fill her up and drive off. If you do, your license are gone. And bless your heart, none of us have a right that have worldly means to see this crew and this team pray day and night and all the rest and put it together. Thank God for it. But sometimes if we just obey God and feel that we are not paying, but we're giving because God blesses us. Give and it shall be given unto you. And any person that really loves God, you have an open heart and you will give to God's work and God's kingdom. And you will give carefully. You won't give to every minister and everybody that barks and everybody that begs. Here's the way I believe in raising funds. And in South Africa, 5 different churches that had no property in 1 month, 5 different churches got in a building program through my one-night meetings in their church. At the end of service, I just knelt. When God told me to, I didn't do it in about 25 churches. When God told me to, I just knelt down and prayed and held the audience a moment and prayed. And I said, God, you're bearing witness that this congregation needs property and a building of its own. Now, Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak to people. In Durban Christian Center, Dr. Fred Roberts, many of you know of him, they got in a building program, and they organized it, and they brought 3,000 rand in. I preached there in that huge auditorium. They were out on the beach then, renting this big auditorium. I preached on a Sunday morning. I asked if I could take an extra 5 or 10 minutes into the service, and with the anointing of God, I stepped down. It doesn't happen every meeting. And I prayed. 197,000 rand came. They had raised in a building program 3,000. God sent in 1 week 197,000 rand. They bought a building, cooperated their Bible school and their church services, and that's where they are today. God takes foolish things to confound the mighty. There's still people that can hear the voice of the Spirit. And I said, if God didn't tell you to do it, don't you do it. But if the Holy Spirit told you to do it, He'll make a way. One man will build great homes out on the ocean, and he's about to collapse. And he, by faith, turned to his wife and said, honey, we're going to give 10,000 rand. She said, you have to go to court this week. You've got legal costs. But then she agreed. He took an envelope and marked on it 10,000 rand. All of heaven opened up that week. The court case is settled. And the big home in dispute, they turned around and gave him more money than had ever been offered for it. See, God is still on the throne. All right. Sin. One thing under the feet of Jesus is sin. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. He doesn't save people in their sin. He saves it from their sin. And don't you get sick and tired of them talking about the old man, the old flesh. Well, all of us have the old man and wrestling with, brother, you're fighting the wrong battle. My Bible doesn't read that way. It said you're not in the flesh if the Spirit of God dwells in you. You claim you're a Holy Ghost person and always fighting the flesh. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's your own flesh. Brother, you better go back and get a dip in Calvary and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're forever fighting the old flesh. I'm dominated by the flesh. I blew off. I got mad. I this, that, and the other. Go and get saved once and for all. Saved from sin. It doesn't mean you'll always be perfect, but you'll have a short fuse with God and instantly you'll turn. And when you miss a step and say, oh God, the Holy Spirit will convict you and you'll say, God, forgive me. I've heard Pentecostal charismatic Baptist preachers in the last year and they make every excuse for the old flesh. Well, you teach people to live here and they'll live here. You teach them here and it'll bring them up to here. One thing the precious Savior died for is to save us from our sins. If we're not saved from sin, we're not saved at all. God doesn't wink at sin. He doesn't excuse sin. You and I do, but God doesn't. So when Christ cried, it is finished, the day of atonement, salvation for all, and he cleansed the land, everybody that believe, in one day. He's just near as your faith, as great as your faith, as powerful as your faith. Now what else? The church ought to have its seat in the heavens. We ought to have our feet upon sin. Right? Now sickness and disease. You're not going to like some of the things I say, but just try to love me anyway. People, you know, it's odd. I preached in a Oklahoma City crusade, great big giant tent years ago. I played all these musical instruments. And out of the 8 services a week, I preached 5 of them. Someone came right to this camp meeting last year and said, some of your family's in Oklahoma City many years ago, and told me about it. I said, yes. And said, were you there? I said, yes. Said, well, that's funny. I don't remember you. And said, did you ever... I said, you remember all the musical instruments? Yes. I said, no one else played several instruments. I played several instruments and sang every night. He said, I don't remember you. I meet this all over the world. But see, my prayer is, Lord, hide my life behind the cross of Christ, and may no man be seen except the lowly Nazarene, and no voice heard except that still small voice. Then I've experienced what Paul said, known but unknown. And this man that was right here, he may be here this morning, but he said, see, I'm getting even. I don't remember him now. No. He said, did you ever preach those days? I said, yes. I said, brother, I preached 5 of the 8 sermons that were preached every week in Oakland. He said, well, I was really blessed. I said, did you attend once or twice? He said, no, every night. And he never remembers. So you'll probably never remember who spoke today. I forgot to ask Glenn if the speaker showed up. I didn't wait for another time. All right. Put your feet down on sin. Amen? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And that same blood, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, has power to keep us from sinning. Get the Word, O God, Word in our heart, that I might not sin against Thee. So then sickness and disease. Did you know when you're saved? Jesus never did save anybody and leave them sick. Every person that comes into the kingdom of God ought to be made completely whole. Just as quickly as that salvation, you ought to be healed by the power of God. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of peace upon Him, and by His stripes are healed. Surely He hath borne our grief, C-H-O-L-I, our sickness, disease, and carried our sorrow, M-A-K-O-B, pain, physical pain. The same Bible says He forgives and uses the same Hebrew verb, S-A-B-L and N-A-S-A in Isaiah 53. Known verse 11, I think, in verse 14, it shows the same verb is used for healing and for salvation, forgiveness of sins. And then, in mouth two or three witnesses, then the other verb is used. And it shows one verb up here is for healing. Here's for iniquity, salvation. Then one verb up here is He forgives all iniquity. And down here, it's for healing. So every person, when you get saved, you and I should be completely healed. Healed by the power of God. Boy, I don't hear many amens. Amen. The church has lost 500 years. 500 years since the Reformation. We keep telling believers, and they can't quite grasp it, what God can do. God can save you. God can heal you. God can perform a miracle. God can answer your prayer. We should have been telling the church for 500 years who God is and who we are in Christ. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God, that's by faith. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Heard a local minister preach in a big church here in Hot Springs last year, and he perverted that scripture. He said, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And he quoted it over and over and over and over. Any supernatural work of God begins with who God is, not what God does. Now get this straight. We should be telling the world what God can do. But when you and I really got saved, really out of darkness into light, out of the natural into supernatural, born again, from that moment on, we should not only believe, we should know God can do anything. Amen. Everything. We shouldn't have to have our faith jacked up all the time, but we have to do it, don't we, preachers? We have to do it. Because people just won't believe and walk in that new life with God. Healing is the children's bread. We take communion here sometimes. And I always put a little warning. You don't have, after Holy Communion, Lord's Supper, not a one of us has an excuse to remain in sin. Not a one of us have an excuse to remain in sickness and disease. Because there's two elements. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Through His bruised, broken body, by His stripes you're healed. Now I'm going to wake you up a little bit, maybe. Brother Noel, I was almost with you this morning. It's 4 a.m. And I thought, no, I'm going to quit my prayer and let Him take over at 6 a.m. Jesus Christ sent no one to pray for the sick. Read the Gospels. He didn't say, now you go and pray for the sick. Read in Luke the 10th chapter, and I think Matthew the 10th chapter, He didn't get His own. First He sent the 12 out. He didn't say, pray for the sick. Then He sent 70, the forgotten 70, and told them. He didn't say, pray for sick. He said, heal the sick. They were men of prayer. But heal the sick. And that gets me back to James. And I made a lot of enemies. You say, Brother Clem, now listen, Clement. I want to show you something. Get you straightened out. James 5:14, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Go back to James 1:1. James, a brother of Jesus, he said, I write to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. 12 tribes scattered abroad. There were a little group of believers, Hebrew believers. The Jews didn't believe in Him. They crucified Him. But the Hebrew Israeli believers believed on Him. And there was little pockets of them out in Rome and across Asia and around the Mediterranean. And he writes, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Then when he gets in the 5th chapter, guess what he says? Is there anybody sick over there in your group? In other words, why didn't he just say, why didn't he just say, here's what I want you to do, to pray for the sick? He didn't say it. He said, he asked a question. Is anyone sick? They shouldn't be sick. They should walk in divine health. You should have the gift of healing, the gift of faith, and the gift of miracles in that congregation. Because God set them in the church. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter verse 28. But he said, is there someone sick there? Then if you don't have these gifts, if you don't have anyone, like I sent out the 12 and the 70, they'd lightly touch her, the spoken word, be made whole. Peter and John went up to the temple, Acts 3rd chapter, at the hour of prayer. And a crippled man that was lame since his birth, he begged alms. They said, silver and gold, we have none. But such as we have. They didn't say, we don't have anything. They said, such as we have. Such as we have, we give unto you. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. They didn't say, now, brother, come and get a prayer card. Now, get in line. Crowd's not very big, so we'll only call a few numbers tonight and make them all come back the next night. I watched all that stuff and foolishness for many years. I didn't do it, brother, but I watched it. And they didn't say, everybody, let's go in the temple and get some of these believers come out. Now, everybody, join around now. Now, use your prayer language. Now, get with it. All put your hands on this lame man. Scream and yell and all. I've said before, and I'll say again, I'm for prayer. I'm for God's people in unity. But I've never seen a real miracle yet in my lifetime with the whole church trying to lay hands and all praying on for Sister Jones. I've never seen it. And if you have, I'd like to. I'm not trying to declare something, approve something, or disprove something. But I have seen this. I've seen the anointing oil or the word of knowledge. Sister in that wheelchair, rise in Jesus' name. And they come. See, there's time for united prayer and all the rest. So he said here, he didn't say the whole church. He said, anybody sick there, you shouldn't be sick, is what he's saying. But if they are and you don't have these miraculous gifts, then call for the elders. This is God's safety net. The lowest God has, not the high. The lowest. Because He wants believers just to declare the word. The touch. Or use the oil. And believe. And be made whole. Some healings are slow, but most healings in the Bible are instant. So the prayer of faith is not the highest element. Someone's bragging here a while back and said, oh, our church now, our denomination church, we're anointed with oil, boy. At last we got there. I just didn't have the nerve to say anything, but at last they got the lowest thing on the ladder. But Jesus put sickness and disease. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all that were oppressed by the devil. The thief cometh but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. It's odd in the New Testament that they don't distinguish the spiritual life from the natural life like we do this day and time. But Jesus put sin, He put sickness and disease under His foot, and the church should be seated in a heavenly lair. And every time sickness comes up, we ought to, you stay under my foot. But instead, we invite it, don't we? We say, you know what? I thought I was healed of that lumbago at the camp last year. But you know that thing is coming back on me. Keep speaking it and believing it, and it will. You talk about old Fido, he's laying over there, sleeping. You start saying Fido, and his ears perk up, he opens his eyes. You keep telling me about Fido, and he'll get up and come running over there.
Amen.
What you do is say, this is the day the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. By stripes I'm healed. Satan, you have no right. Lumbago, get under my foot in Jesus' name. I'm seated in the heavenlies. I'm with Christ. You get back down where you belong. Sin, sickness, disease, and then demon power. Every believer, these signs shall follow some. No, them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. I don't care how you get them out. Takes all night if you want to, but I'll tell you, in the Bible ways, usually it's an instant thing. That foul, evil spirit, come out of him. And some people say, oh, you got to look them in the eyes. Really? I've seen complete hysterical cases out of their mind, four or five ushers trying to hold them down. And I have humbly slipped in the room and stood behind them and whispered one sentence in complete deliverance by the power of God. That was in Benny Hinn's church, too. He had already taken off. Maxwell White stirred up demons and said, I'm tired. I'm going to the hotel and walked out. Benny tried to take over and he couldn't do anything, manage it. The whole audience went nuts. I mean, and some of the most so-called spiritual people in that congregation were acting like he's riding horses and going crazy. And he couldn't handle it, and he left. Someone came and got me and said, you're a minister. I said, God didn't tell me to. But I did go in this one room where the intercessors had prayed. I said, when you're all through, get out of there. Come and get me. See, we can say, devil's hard of hearing. You can even think and cast out demons.
That's right.
I don't propose that you do it that way, because God normally anoints this spoken word.
Yes.
But whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, see, your desires, your mental facilities, your thoughts are things in the spiritual world, whether you speak or not speak. Thoughts are tangible things in the spiritual world. Some people say, devil's hard of hearing. You don't get that in the Bible. Others say, you got to look them in the eyes. Well, I don't care how you do it, but every believer here should practice binding and casting out demons or devils. You're a devil conquer. You shouldn't be running from the devil. The devil should be running from you. Now, sin, sick disease, demon power, we're seated in the heavenlies. See? Devil manifests himself. You're around someone. Say, wait a minute, devil, get back under my feet. I'm seated here with Jesus. Down, boy. Out. Then there's something else under the feet. And the church should have complete victory. Not only in sin, sickness, and disease. You know, we should walk in divine health. Boy, I better hurry this up because I'm going to miss my real thing on the ending if I don't. All right. Then, the old man. I've already touched on that. The old man. The old creature. But the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. I believe it's a lie, because it's not balanced in God's Word to teach that the Christian believer still has two natures. Because the Bible said we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And again it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. See, if you believe that, then you'll live that kind of life, defeated. The old nature. What does 2 Peter 1:4 says? It says that all the promises of God are given that we might be partaker of what? The divine nature. That's what salvation is. God became a man through his Son and took on human nature that you and I may take on divine nature. You've joined the church if you don't have the divine nature. You don't know any more about Holy Ghost salvation than a hog does a side saddle. You have the divine nature. You're a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then something else the church has got to put. So Jesus did this. See, he conquered sin, but you and I got to conquer sin. He conquered sickness and disease. You and I have to do it. He conquered demon power. You and I have to conquer demon power. And the church as a body has to put these things under the feet. And individually, we must be victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then poverty. In our situation here in America, we always think of poverty, oh, I don't have quite enough money to buy a new car or something else. My Lord, over the earth today, if you have, and I travel by the mercy of God in 41 nations, and if you have a light bulb, and if you have a floor, not dirt, and if you have any kind of water, coal, polluted, anything, by world standards today, you're still a wealthy person. But there's poverty of spirit. There's poverty of mind and of soul. Don't get wrapped up all the time in the prosperity message, you know. Send $1,000 this week, and a house 70. 70 send in, and here's what God's going to do. Well, God has to speak at both ends of the line. I don't like auctioneers and hawkers in the kingdom of God. We do our part, and then we try to do the Holy Spirit part, even the best of us, when they ought to get out of the way. That's why in invitations around the world, I never beg. Is there a hand? Every head bowed. There's a hand in the balcony. Oh, glory to God. No. Like you're auctioneering. Is there another hand? Why not preach the word? Then stop. Amen. And say, blessed Holy Spirit, convict us sin of righteous judgment.
That's right.
Lord, I've tried to do my best to declare your word to these people. Now, through your mercy and grace, let your Holy Spirit go out there and speak. And reach that soul nearest eternity. And then wait. That's what I do. Boy, America's Pentecostal and Charismatic start gathering up the Bible and their coat, whispering each other, looking at the time. And I say, just hold still a moment, please. Sometimes I pray the second time. Guess what? Well, at once it breaks. Down in Miami, 1,400 people, and here came a big black fella just a-running down the aisle. Everybody knew him. He's a famous football player. I didn't know him. I leaped off the platform, ran, met him halfway, and I said to that big fella, I said, wait a minute. What's going on here? And he's bawling. He said, oh, I've got to get right with it. I said, wait a minute. If God hasn't called you and you don't mean business, go back to your seat. I'm not going to have a lot of chewing gum grinning people come down, lift their hands, say this little prayer after me now. My God.
Yeah.
Where are they a year from now? And I beg God, Lord, I want to be zealous for your work, but don't let me try to do the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me show the difference. And it's not always the same, the way God leads you. But let God do something. All right. Poverty. Then the last enemy destroyed is what? It's already been destroyed. Christ already destroyed that. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Look here. 1:10. Middle of the verse. It said, our Savior, who hath, he's already abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality light through the gospel. He conquered death. Now, if we're sitting there in the heavenlies, we got to conquer death. Oh, you say, Brother Clement, not in this age. Listen, you say, Revelation said death and hell will be cast into a lake of fire. Sure it will. I gave the illustration 3 years ago out here. There's a poisonous snake. Someone there near the door kills him. It's dead. It's abolished. Done away with. Now, after the service, Brother Glenn says, I heard there's a poison snake out there. And he says, Ron, would you go and cast that snake away? See, death's already been destroyed. The old serpent death has been already destroyed. And someday it'll be picked up and cast into hell. That's future. But presently, The Bible said sin shall not have dominion over you. And the wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is death. Then death shouldn't have dominion over you. Don't make a covenant with death. Make a covenant with life and the life giver. Never fear death. But don't make a covenant with death. According to thy day, so shall thy strength be. Then the church has got to also believe some of the neglected promises. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 12th chapter, in Luke, the 10th chapter, Jesus Christ said, all will be revealed and all will be fulfilled. All will be known and all will be declared from the housetop, even the secret things. Many sermons you and I have heard in our lifetime or Sunday school teachers say, oh, God's going to take hidden sin, reveal it. That's not God will. But that's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about spiritual things. All of these things are going to be known. Boy, we got to get in gear. We got to move. And Jesus said to the Emmaus disciples, all things taught through the Psalms and the prophets must be fulfilled. So death, the last enemy, the church should sit there and keep putting its foot on death. That way, your youth will be restored like the eagles. Did you hear it? I said one time, I preached Resurrection Life. It's a great service. I think they had the tape on that Resurrection Life. But we had a larger crowd than here this morning. There's a grouping of women seated on the second row there. And they started laughing. And I went over with my Bible, and they said, wait a minute, Brother Lamour. She's 79. I said, so? And the woman said, I'm 91. I said, so? And they said, what do you expect? I said, I expect you to believe God. And I turned around and I took my Bible back and I said, before I leave this auditorium, I want you women to take my Bible and mark which promises and scriptures are for those under 40, those under 50, those under 60, those under 70, and those under 80. You said, let's be reasonable. Yes, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. Yes, God will wash away your sins, but human reasoning in itself is not to dominate faith in Almighty God. Now, we believe God is going to do a great work and a quick work. Now, when God sends revival, I want you to get this. Charles G. Finney, that prince evangelist in the early American colonies, said, revival is not the work of God, it's the work of men. As a young minister, I said, I like Finney and everything, but boy, look here, he's going out on a limb. We know revival's work of God, but you read on. Read in his book of theology, and you find out what he's talking about. God will meet, if when man meets the condition, there's revival. That's why, and I'm going to give you a few of those right quickly if you want to write them down. And that is why, all right, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, that's very familiar. So, see, any time people do this, they can expect God to reward their effort, and God will be there. Now, the least God has for His church is Holy Ghost conviction if we're not in revival, because we've lost. God wants us in what we'd call continual revival. The saints build up in the most holy faith, rejoicing in the Lord, then the world, and we're on fire, and the world comes see us burn, and they're saved. But revival is for God's own. Do it again, Lord, do it again.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.